Greetings, everyone. My name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. This podcast is sponsored by Every Dot Black Entrepreneurs Podcasting Network. Our foundation scripture today comes from Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter and the 1st verse. And it says, "To everything there is a season, time for every purpose, under the heaven." The Storytelling Time podcast this week is the 5th story taken from the 4th chapter of the book, Miracles in the Lives of Ordinary People, entitled, Healing with a Purpose. The title of the podcast today is Everett's Purpose. Before we start with our story of the week, I like to say that this podcast is the last program in the book writing challenge that was started 1 year ago. In June of 2019. I trust that especially those of you with a desire to become an author have gotten something from these podcasts. The good news is that if you didn't complete the challenge, or even if you haven't started writing your book yet, there's always the opportunity to begin. And I continue to encourage you to do that. As I say at the close of each podcast, there's always more good things coming your way. And that certainly would be the case if you put forth the effort and write that book. In order to achieve things in life, it usually involves work. Well, that's a 4-letter word that many of us don't like to talk about. But the fact is that none of us can get what we want without it, without working hard to obtain what we desire. So it's up to us to get it done, to do whatever we need to do to achieve our desires. Knowing that it takes work to get what we want, it's best that we at least like the work that we're doing. In fact, we need to love whatever we're doing on a routine basis. There's nothing much worse than doing something you're not excited about doing. But on the other hand, if you do love your work, achieving your goal, that is your desire, will become much easier. Don't get it confused, though. It doesn't mean that you'll be without challenges, but it does mean having a passion and doing the work necessary to be successful, you'll be able to confront those challenges with confidence. So be confident that at some point you will achieve. If you truly believe you will get what you want, whether it's writing a book or achieving some other desire. And if writing a book is one of your desires, I'm available to help you with that. We'll have our story of the week after the following break. Stay with us. Welcome back. Larry had convinced his friend James to travel with him on a Saturday morning from New York City, where his team played the previous night, to Whiteville to see one of his fans, Everett, who was in the hospital. When they arrived there and finally got permission from the receptionist, Larry and James took the elevator up 3 floors to Everett's room. Everett had been on the phone trying to convince the receptionist not to allow the guests to visit him. He was more interested in talking with his teammates and trying to encourage them to have a good practice that afternoon instead of mentally being focused on him. The team would have a game the following Monday night. So when Larry and James arrived at Everett's room, he was busy entertaining his teammates, trying to keep them as upbeat as possible, given his health situation. Everett's bed was positioned where his back was toward the door where he was facing his teammates, who could clearly see anyone coming into the room long before Everett. Well, Larry and James were there, and were about to enter the room. Soon, Larry and James did enter Everett's room, and his teammates were the first to see them, and they were astonished. But at first, no one recognized the pair as the professional stars they were. To Everett's teammates, Larry and James were just some very tall guests who were there apparently to see Everett. But when the stars got a little closer, one of Everett's teammates yelled, "Guys, this is Larry Jones and James Porter." A split second after this teammate uttered these words, the other players acted as if royalty was in their midst. They just stood there, motionless in awe of these professional athletes. Within another split second, Everett maneuvered himself around in his bed to see if it was actually his basketball idols. As he turned around, he too realized that his longtime idols in a sport that he loved were indeed in the room. Like everyone else present, he was speechless and just took in the thrill of it all, digesting what was happening. Larry and James came over to Everett's bed and introduced themselves. "Wow, I can't believe it's you guys," Everett shouted in amazement at them. Then he continued to say, "I've watched you two on TV so much, and Larry, I've seen you in person a few times when your team played the Nabbers." Then Larry said to him, "We wanted to surprise you, Everett." Then Everett replied, "Wow, you sure did that." Then he continued, "I don't know what to say. I'm in shock." Everett's teammates were in shock as well. James allowed Everett to compose himself, and then he said to him, "I read about your condition in the paper, Everett. So how are you doing?" Larry asked with great concern. Everett pondered what James asked him for a moment. Although the prognosis was grim for him, those simple words of concern from his basketball idol inspired him greatly. Everett so much appreciated the thrill of those few moments with both Larry and James, actually being able to touch them and talk to them about how much he watched their games on TV and how he modeled his style of playing basketball after their talents. After composing himself even more, Everett finally answered Larry's question, "I'm doing okay." After a few minutes of casual discussion, Larry and James presented Everett with an official professional basketball signed by the both of them. What a healing experience for Everett with regards to his spirit. He felt that the presence of his athletic idols helped his outlook tremendously in dealing with his recovery and considered their visit a great blessing. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. Larry and James hung around the hospital room for a few more minutes, addressing the gathering of players on the basketball squad about not only being diligent in sports competition, but also in the classroom. The professionals tried to instill in them that although they were passionate about playing basketball, practically all of them would never make a living from the sport. But Larry and James insisted that they could become productive members of society by taking advantage of the gifts God had given them to perform well in a profession other than basketball. Larry told the team members that education would be the key to their success. Larry said to the players, "You guys need to have as a priority to graduate. And once you leave high school, your future, in all likelihood, won't be in basketball. So it doesn't matter what field you end up going into as a career, whether it's medicine, teaching, administration, politics, business, or some other trade that you'll gain a skill in, you can still achieve your dreams and live a profitable life doing what you're good at and liking what you choose as a profession. Upon hearing of the sports star's visit to meet Everett, the high school administration and teachers alike admired the atmosphere they created and especially appreciated what they told the student-athletes about doing well in the classroom, as well as in athletic competition. Larry and James soon left the hospital room, leaving Everett with gifts such as business cards and a pair of star sneakers. And they also left a basketball. Everett and his teammates were inspired and motivated. Soon everyone had left the room, including the two professional players as well as Everett's teammates. Everett was left alone in his bed. While just lying there, he daydreamed about what had just transpired. He also started to think about the procedure he would get that afternoon and the treatments he would have in the coming weeks to control his condition. Everett eventually had his procedure that afternoon with his mother Sarah and his aunt Velma there to console him. After a while, Everett was allowed to return home, where he continued to take the medication prescribed by his doctors and was cared for and comforted by his mother. During the winter months, Everett tried to abide by what the doctors were telling him to do to minimize any discomfort resulting from his condition. But on occasion, contrary to doctors' orders, he managed to make it to some of his high school's basketball games. Now that his illness had to be dealt with on a daily basis, playing basketball for his high school team was a distant memory. While Everett continued to attend some of the games, particularly home games at Whiteville High, the thrill of actually playing was long gone. Everett would return to the hospital after 3 months for reevaluation of his condition. With continued visits, the doctors were amazed that Everett's condition had stabilized and was not advancing. This was contrary to all the other cases they had seen with patients having myopia. The mortality rate for this disease within 12 months of its initial diagnosis was close to 100%. While the doctors continued to be pessimistic about the prospects of Everett getting any better, they were surprised that his condition had not worsened. They even considered the possibility of taking him off medication altogether. Everett began to focus his attention on a college career devoid of playing basketball. He somehow accepted that fate with grace, and being the competitor that he was eager to meet the challenge of making his life successful away from sports. This time, he would measure his success not on his basketball skills, but on his hidden talents as a student in the classroom and his ability to communicate his feelings to others. This was a big accomplishment given his shyness as a kid and his focus on sports competition in high school. Central College in his hometown of Whiteville gave him the opportunity to expand on his gifts as a student and orator, talents that would be important as he progressed in his career. He focused on the contributions he could make in the academic world. Everett was in the process of gaining an education at Central College, where he was preparing for a career in sports medicine. His desire was that he be put in a position where he could contribute, not just to the physical aspects of athleticism, like he had during his days playing football and basketball. To the contrary, Everett was interested in guiding student athletes into a healthy and productive career outside of sports upon graduation from high school. This meant attending college or some other preparatory school to gain training and skills in a particular profession. Let's take another break. We'll be right back to close the show. Welcome back. On a larger scale, Everett also wanted to attract professional basketball players to his hometown, Whiteville, where people in that part of the New York City region experienced the more tranquil life beyond the Big Apple. He envisioned sponsoring the building of a sports arena in his hometown so that more athletes could be more aware of this sleepy town north of the big city. Football and basketball at the local high schools continued to be a highlight for local folks. They would often say, "Let's enjoy the small town environment while we can." Yes, this was the opinion of most local residents because they knew that it would be a good chance that if anyone could pull this off, that is, bring in a sports arena to the area, it would be Everett. And yes, Everett truly believed that he would achieve this goal, the goal of building that arena in Whiteville, and therefore bringing greater economic growth to the area. Local town folks believed that just like Everett developed his basketball talents, he also would be the instrument of change in this sleepy community north of New York City. On a personal level, Everett believed that he would achieve that goal, just like he had progressed from playing basketball in his backyard to become a high school sports star and, of course, overcoming the illness that he faced. As in our foundation scripture, Everett realized that to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And he was determined to take advantage of this new opportunity. At this point in Everett's life, his healing was with a purpose. It was not just one of recovery from a physical malady, but one of growing from playing basketball as well as football to one of prioritizing his new goal to help others. In this process, he found a gift that he originally thought he did not have, and that was the ability to communicate verbally in public. But that was ultimately made possible by a renewed purpose in his life, brought on by facing his own mortality. This experience certainly led to a physical healing, but just as important, it led to a spiritual healing with the purpose of helping others. Well, that's all for today. Remember, whatever you may be going through, whether good or bad, just keep in mind that there's always more good things coming your way. We'll see you the next time.